Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Stuart Custer, Chairman Emeritus of the Division of Bible at BJU. The title of his message is A Contrast in Character. The text is from Psalm 1.
I'd like to speak today on Psalm 1, one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament. A contrast in character is what I see in that psalm. It is a theme that is going to go through the whole Psalter and the entire Bible. There is, on the one hand, the character of a man that God can bless. And on the other hand, there is character that God will blame. And every man fits into one of those two categories. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This man, under the blessing of God, has some notable characteristics that are underscored here. In the first place, his life manifests a separation from evil. In verse 1, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't live his life. He doesn't make progress in the counsel of the ungodly. He rejects their way of thinking. He repudiates the purposes that drive them. Nor does he stand in the way of sinners. Notice there's a definite progression here, walking and then coming to a halt, standing in the way of sinners. He's not among them. When they gather, he's not standing with them. He's standing far away. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful, he settles down. It's not just standing, he's seated among them, sitting perhaps in a place of authority, able to move things in the wrong direction. The scornful, the individuals who are not just unbelievers, they're contemptuous of good and righteous men and the power of goodness in man's soul. But in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Ah, here is a separation to God. It's not just that he's against things. It's not just that he's down on people. He is for God. He is standing for God. That's what's important in his life. His delight is in God's word. He takes pleasure in what the word says. His mind dwells upon this blessed book. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's thinking about it all the time. In the daytime, when he's busy doing things, he's thinking about God's word. And at night, when he ought to be sleeping, he's thinking about God's word. It's something that possesses him, something that drives him forward, something in which his mind takes great satisfaction. And then in verse 3, his life shows stability. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He is not driven about. He may be attacked, but he doesn't flee. He has deep roots. God is his strength. Stability of life and conduct. Stability of character. He stands for something, and he cannot be moved, cannot be driven away from it. God blesses this man. But now, there's another personage here. In the last three verses, And what a contrast is there. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Ah, a person is not just lost. He's not just unsaved. He's ungodly. His life is against God. He stands against what is right. He doesn't want God's word. He stands for the devil and all evil. But you say, oh, there are some unsaved people that are very nice people. Oh, socially, yes. And undoubtedly, some of them love their friends and family, but they don't love God. They don't want His word. They have no intentions of walking in His way. Now, in exactly inverse order, the last three verses are going to show something very different. In verse 4, the ungodly show instability. They're not in one place. They're driven like the wind. Circumstances change their testimony, change their lifestyle. And chaff, what an image. Instead of the tree with fruit, powerfully stable, here's chaff broken off from what is worthwhile, broken off from good grain, and driven with the wind. Threshing floors of Palestine are always on hills. The person who's there, still in the ancient way, breaking the grain, breaking the chaff off of it, you can see the winnowing fork as he beats this grain, and you can see the wind blowing the chaff down the hillside. And here, for 100 yards down the hill, there's this line of chaff that's spread out there and still tumbling in the wind. No stability at all. And who wants chaff? Of what concern is chaff to anyone? In verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Ah, there's a separation here, but a separation from the righteous. The righteous man separated to God. But here the wicked separate from righteousness. They don't want righteousness. They don't want to be pious. They want to be with it. They want to be accepted by the wrong crowd, the people of questionable morals and integrity. They belong there. And therefore, they're not going to stand in the judgment. They're going to cringe in the judgment. They're not going to be among the congregation of the righteous. The righteous are with God. They're standing with Him. They're on His side of the issue. And these people are not. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is not only separation from the righteous, there is separation from God. There is going to be a gulf fixed between them and Him. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. You say He knows everything. Oh, yes, but this idiom does not mean just information. God does know everything about everybody, that's true. But in this sense, God knows the way of the righteous. He knows with approval. He thinks upon their way. And He blesses their way because He recognizes that they are standing for Him. They are walking His pathway. They are obedient to His word, and He knows them with approval. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. It'll be total shipwreck. Everything that they have hoped will be destroyed. Everything they have tried to accomplish will be ruined. Because they've tried to do things apart from God, and nothing succeeds. My friends, I want to talk to you about a person who manifests the character of the righteous. Think of David. David was a man such as we are. Like passions indeed. But he was on God's side. He chose God. He wanted God with all his heart. And how strange in this family of David. When Samuel came to anoint the king, his older brothers, stronger, more mature, better choices to be king, surely. But God didn't choose any of them. He chose David, the youngest, out with the sheep. He was one they hadn't counted on. But David wasn't just out with the sheep. He was there with God. And God knew it. And as he was there, he filled his life with the thought of God. How do we know that? Oh, his Psalms tell us that. Not just this one. Every day, he started out as Psalm 5:3 would say, "In the morning, thou shalt hear my voice. In the morning, I will direct my prayer to thee. And we'll look up." The day started with God. Didn't matter that he was out early with the sheep. He was out earlier with God. God was his pleasant thought. And during the day he would have occasion to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Ah, yes, he would tick them off. How blessed he was. And for the wicked, the outsiders, here's this poor shepherd boy out in the middle of nowhere looking after that poor flock. All the important things in life were going past him. But they weren't. He was there with God. Nothing was going past him. He was there praising the Lord. And he couldn't be intimidated. "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Ah, yes. His whole life was shining with light. Didn't matter whether it was a sunny day or not. God was there. God was everything for him. "Whom shall I fear?" He was not intimidated by anyone. Goliath could show up in his life, making King Saul and all the rest tremble. Didn't make David tremble. "He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty." Yes, that's where David was. "Under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High." Goliath was a midget. God was on David's side. There was nothing to fear. My friends, we've got to realize what the thought of God did for David. To realize what that did to his relationship with the Word. "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That was David's thought. His first concern was the Lord, and how he could be obedient to the Word. "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." That's what David was doing. He was thinking about the Word. Was he neglecting the sheep? Of course not. That was part of his task. He looked after those sheep with great care. But he thought about God. He thought about the Word. He let his mind dwell upon the things of God. And yes, he had numerous occasions in which, in his heart, he would think about the Word of God. And his relationship with God. And how blessed he was to have such a privilege. "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Wasn't just a sheep path. "In thy presence is fullness of joy forevermore." That's where David was. Filled with joy. Because God was there. And he had the privilege of looking after the sheep for God. Not just for his family. And yes, the hard times came and the difficult passages in his life came. But "thou art my shepherd." He wasn't just the shepherd. God was his shepherd. He was walking in the path with God to green pastures and still waters. God was looking after him. and he knew he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What could intimidate him? Turns out no one could. From Goliath on, because God filled his thoughts, filled his life. His delight was in the word of the Lord. And in his word he meditated day and night. There's an example for us all, friends. We all have tasks, so to speak. We have sheep that we must take care of, things that we must do, but we also have God. Whatever else we are doing, we need to be thinking about God, letting our mind dwell upon Him, thinking about His Word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. Yes, that's what we need. We need God to be our strength. We need to be thinking about His Word. Our words should reflect His words. Our life should reflect His strength. And the joy will come. He has put a new song in my heart. And David could sing. He was a musician. He could play the harp. And out in the middle of the desert, here he is singing, making melody in his heart to the Lord. He didn't have an audience. Only the sheep were there. They weren't troubled by his song. They knew his voice. They belonged with him. But God was the center of his attention. And David belonged with God. David was dwelling in the presence of the Almighty. My friends, that should be our place. That is where we ought to be, all day long, every day, not just on Sundays, not just on special occasions, not just at chapel. You can do a lot of work while you're thinking of God. And many times the work will go better because His serene presence is there to bless and to strengthen and to impart wisdom and grace. Sometimes we forget that God is there. Let's change the illustration. What about the man God blames? Think of Judas. He was one of 12 men, the most privileged men in the history of the world, to be an eyewitness of the works of the Lord Jesus. Every day he could see the Lord performing miracles. The blind would see, the deaf would hear, the dumb could speak, the lame could walk, day after day, to think of seeing that. What a tremendous privilege that was. To hear the words of the Lord, to think of being an auditor standing there while the Sermon on the Mount was preached for the first time. What privilege. But there was nothing in his heart. He had everybody fooled because he knew the right words to say. Oh, the money we have should be given to the poor. Who could fault him? Boy, that's politically correct. But in his heart, he was saying, I want that money. His mind was centered upon things. And pretty soon, it crowded out everything else. But he had everybody fooled. They made him treasurer. He was the most disciplined, the most rigorous in everything. He had all the possessions of the whole group. And it was not enough. It finally came to 30 pieces of silver. And what he could do with that. And he was prepared to sell the Lord of the universe for the price of a slave. And yes, he was there through all the discourses, through all the miracles, and everybody thought he was one of them. He thought he had everybody fooled. It never crossed his mind that the Lord was reading his, and he never prayed. He had nothing to ask the Lord for. He never worshiped the Lord. It was things. And all through the public ministry, he was there saying the right words, doing the right things, and thinking about himself and what he could get and how he could use it for his own purposes. And he thought no one knew. But the Lord knew exactly who he was. "One of you," he said, "is a devil." My friends, which one of these pathways are you traveling? What does your thought life do to you? Does it draw you nearer Christ? Do you walk upon holy ground because he is there every day? Or are you thinking of yourself and things? Is your life choked by the possessions that you have or desire? What kind of a person are you? Are you the man that God can bless, or the man that he will blame? You're one of those two. Now is a good time to make sure which of those categories you fit in. Whether your life is going to count for God, whether your days are going to mean fellowship with him, whether your life is going to be a blessing, or whether, like Judas, you will go through the forms and put up the good show and be part of the chaff which the wind drives away.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Stuart Custer, Chairman Emeritus of the Division of Bible at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.